There is no such thing as a typical portrait session for photographer David Jay when women participate in the Scar Project, standing before his camera, bearing their hearts, souls, and scars where their amputated breasts once were. I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. But why would a woman want to be photographed after a mastectomy and participate in an exhibit and book? Is there something about going quite public with this highly personal, intimate experience that promotes healing or simply helps women to come to terms with their new reality? Well, those are the questions I asked of David Jay. It's very nice to have you on Body Language, David.
Hello, Christopher. Thank you very much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Before we get into the history and certainly the inspiration for the Scar Project, what is the Scar Project?
The Scar Project is primarily, at least superficially, an awareness campaign for young women's breast cancer. It is a series of large-scale portraits of young women, the youngest being 17, I think, and the oldest being approximately 35. They are nudes from the waist up, and they're a very a somewhat confronting series where the viewer is able to see the reality of what's happened to these women as they've battled with breast cancer, including the mastectomy, often reconstruction, etc.
Several years ago in New York, I interviewed four women who were bald, three from alopecia areata, and the other woman had chemotherapy and decided not to regrow her hair. But her boyfriend accepted the fact that she was bald because she was having chemotherapy, but when she decided not to regrow her hair, he said, that's it.
Right.
And she said, that's what it comes down to, right? My hair?
Yeah.
That's
well,
it? And there are other women with alopecia whose lovers wouldn't have sex with them unless they either wore a wig or a scarf.
Well, yeah, human
That's
beings
nice.
Aren't the most kind of evolved creatures on the planet, are we? You know, ultimately, some really quite infantile behavior going on. But hey, just look around the world. There's, I think that's pretty obvious anyway.
Well, we also do a lot of stories on not recovery, because that's associated with drugs, with survivorship and coping with diseases like this. And actually, I'm anxious to do more because this, I feel, I mean, from a radio standpoint, speaking of compassion and empathy, is really where the gold is.
Yeah.
I interviewed a woman who had had a mastectomy, or pardon me, a bilateral mastectomy. And I know I used the word amputation earlier on, and that was very deliberate.
Yeah,
anyhow, this is one of many stories. So she was trying to date again, and she didn't opt for reconstructive surgery because when she had her last procedure, they lost her on the table. You know what that means?
Yes.
She coded.
Yep.
And, in the recovery, later on in the recovery room, she noticed, you know, what appeared to be some burns on her chest. So the surgeon came in and chatted with her and said, well, you know, Mrs. Smith, everything went well. You know, we're, you know, pretty confident. And she said, is there anything you want to tell me, doctor?
About these burns from the paddles?
And he said, well, no. And then she said, this woman was a nurse, by the way. She said, did you lose me? And he said, well, yeah, but we brought you back.
And he wasn't said, going to mention it? Was anyone going to mention it?
He wasn't going to tell her.
Oh,
so she decided, she said, screw this, you know, I survived this time. I may not be so lucky next time. So she decided not to have reconstructive surgery and instead, you know, spent the money on braces. She said, if I'm going to die, at least I'm going to go to my grave with straight teeth. It's interesting how people's priorities change.
Yeah, no, but I think it's fantastic. You know, so often over the years, I've been shooting the Scar Project for, gosh, probably getting close to 7 years now. And so often they're at that stage, you know, where they've had a mastectomy but haven't done reconstruction yet. And often they ask me, you know, well, what do you think I should do? I mean, as if I should... No one should ask me for advice about anything.
Please.
But you know, so in that case, but I often say, you know, I don't just as a man personally, I don't think you, from me, and I'm a straight dude, I wouldn't do it. I think it's super cool, you know, without the implants, you know. And I think cool strength to having a, you know, this woman with two big scars and no boob. I'm not a booby man myself, anyway. So maybe it's easier for me to say that. But I noticed there's a lot of them now who are choosing not to have reconstruction. In fact, one of the girls
absolutely.
Has started one of the Scar Project girls has started a whole group over there in the Northwest, I think, or maybe she's even in the Bay Area and has moved to, or was in the Bay Area, now moved to a little further up the coast. Basically kind of a community for women to encourage them or to at least support them if they decide that they don't want to have reconstruction and live their life just with two flat scars.
I was chatting with this woman about dating after breast cancer, which is really interesting. So, you know, she wore prosthetic breasts, you know, basically inserts into her bra.
Yes.
And she said, hey, you know, I got all, you know, a whole drawer full of these. I can dress to chill or dress to thrill. You know, I can knock their eyes out. You know, she said, I always laugh when men stare at my breasts and they're just, you know, it just blobs of silicone. So the first time she went out with a guy and they became, you know, kind of interesting, whatever, she remembers necking with him and he very tactfully slid his hand over her breast and she went, gee, I've got something to tell you. Everything is not as it appears.
Yeah.
Well, that strategy didn't work, so she moved on to the next guy. And, you know, they were having drinks or dinner or whatever, and you know, he kind of made a move on her, and she said, I have something to show you. And she reached in her blouse, and she pulled out her prosthesis and it held it out like...
Yeah, you know, like a chicken fillet or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. In fact, that's the nickname for inserts, fillets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, or there's a company called Amona, which makes these. So, well, that strategy didn't work either. So finally, the third time around, you know, the guy... was, you know, she was very interested in him, and the feeling was mutual. And so she said, I want you to go to my site and read my blog. And I think that will give you a better idea of who I am and where I'm at.
Yes.
And he went to the blog, and he read it, and he had a few questions. And they've been together for years.
Aww.
So plan C really worked.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I remember when I brought Carol home from the hospital, speaking of relationships, and she was very unhappy and had the big, you know, white bandages around
the
her chest.
Drains.
The drains.
It was so
awful,
like isn't it?
Three or four drains. Awful.
Yeah,
it really
disgusting.
Sucked. And I had gone to my client's store and purchased some really beautiful cotton camisoles. I forget the name of them. They were Swiss cotton. They were really exquisite. And so... when we got home, I said, well, you know, here's something you might enjoy. And so, you know, Carol took it out and put one on. It looked very nice. It was very comfortable. And you know, she was sitting there on the edge of the bed kind of wondering what was next. And I said, well, I wonder if everything still works. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, there are a lot of other very sweet bits and parts of you that are we have enjoyed for years. So why don't we just curl up and have some fun? And I think that was a very important moment.
Yeah, I'm sure that was. I'm sure she.
Do you understand that she was still desired?
Yeah,
and,
oh, totally.
And,
I mean, that's a
still
huge
spectacular
part of it, isn't it? Because that's, of course, how they feel. Like no one could ever love them after this. How are they ever going to find a man when they're, right. You know, they've been disfigured in this way? And
in some cases, it is disfigured. You know, there are. You know, I know something about scars because I've done a lot of stuff in dermatology, fine line, hypertrophic, and keloidal scars. And some women wind up with keloids that are really...
Yeah. Awful. Oh, there's some real botched, you know, jobs out there as well. I mean...
Especially black women.
Yeah. No, yeah, they're prone to that anyway. And some of the surgeons out there really, it's one thing having your perhaps breast cancer reconstruction done in, you know, California or in New York or somewhere or a major metropolitan area. But listen, I've been shooting girls in Alabama, in small towns in Alabama that, you know, I don't know if these doctors have ever even done surgery before, let alone done this.
And Burying His Soul is photographer David Jay. Thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Try it again.
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
You'll get
that.
It right. Second time's a charm.
That's right.